The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
This is the very first episode of season four of How Not to Suck at Divorce. The kids are picking up on what you're not saying almost more than what you are saying.
It is a choice of how you are going to behave.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Go us. 51 episodes. Here we are, changing the world one episode at a time. Yes, I said changing the world. I could have said better than Oprah, but I'll save that for later in the episode. How are you, Morgan?
Hi there. I can't believe we are at 51. I mean, one, where did we find the time to record all of this? And two, have I really been sitting in my son's stinky closet for 51 episodes? That's like 51 hours of my life sitting in a stinky closet.
Oh, man. One day.
I hope you listeners are getting something out of this.
I think that they are. I mean, at some point we've got to level up, but it hasn't happened yet. As soon as Netflix calls us and says, guys, we want to take your show to the small screen, then maybe they'll get us a better set. But for now, you're stuck in the closet.
That's right. Where maybe I belong. So whatever. 51, I mean, here we go.
Hey, maybe in season five, you'll want to come out of the closet and that'll be a very, very special episode. But for now, we'll stick to what we know.
Okay. On that note, just thinking about coming out of the closet. So here we are.
That note, let's do this. Season four of How Not to Suck at Divorce. This episode is called How to Get Divorced and Not Fuck Up Your Kids. Yep, I said it. Because you know what? That's what everybody wants to know. So that's what we're going to talk about. And something else that I want to talk about, speaking of not fucking up your kids, is what I am currently obsessed with.
I love this segment because it brings about things that we didn't even know we needed.
Things that we're literally obsessed with. It's a throwback. And it features a lot of effed up people. Hmm. It's the Real Housewives. I quit the Housewives. I did. About maybe like, you know what? This is so weird. It coincided with around the time when I got divorced. The time when I got divorced, I think that my life was just in such a dark place. I couldn't handle the ridiculous antics of the housewives. Like it was just like grating on me. It wasn't funny to me anymore. I was over it. So I took a break. And now, baby, I'm back.
Why?
I don't know. I was reminiscing with a friend the other day, sitting at a bar, talking about some of the good old days. And next thing you know, I realized, oh, I have no good old days. So let's just live vicariously through things that the housewives experienced. And, you know, we started playing like our throwback episodes, like, oh, remember when this happened? Remember Scary Island? Remember the table flip? Remember this? Remember that? Right. And then I thought about it and I thought to myself, you know what, Andrea? Maybe you're ready.
There you go. Do you want to know a funny story? So I'm not really into the housewives, but I did go to the hotel that they stayed at when they went to Iceland. So I did a girls trip to Iceland, which if you ever want a girls trip, it's a really fun place to go. And we did all these adventurous things that we really don't usually do. But my one girlfriend who's really into the housewives was like, we have to stay where they stayed. And I didn't know where we were going, but I was like, all right, I'm on board. Tell me where we go. So I thought it was going to be so fabulous. Now, when you get there, it's got a huge polar bear like stuffed right when you walk in. So, I mean, that was pretty cool, but it was a little less than glam, I will tell you. Oh, yes. I mean, the restaurant was nice, fine, but we get to our room and it's like me and one other girl. We go to our room, we open the door. I mean, we were in twin beds, first of all. twin beds. It looked like there was like a camping blanket over the bed.
Oh.
It was like log cabin times 200. So
is that something that maybe is special to Iceland? Or is that just, and was this hotel expensive?
Yes, it was expensive, actually. I mean, for Iceland standards. So it was a little shocking. I mean, I will say the restaurant was good. Everything was great there, but it's like literally in the middle of nowhere. And I got into my twin bed and just snuggled up that night. It was a little less than housewives glam.
You know, I just have to say, because you just said by Iceland standards. So people of Iceland, if you're listening to this episode, we do love you. Don't ditch us like Norway did. Those bitches. Because Norway, you're dead to us. But Iceland, we still love you. And we love you and your standards. And I love a good twin bed. So in fact, I just was lying in a twin bed with my children to put them to sleep. So,
Oh, yes.
So let's talk about kids, baby. Oy. So guys, this episode is just, it's dedicated to all of you who are in that spot, because we know, and like, we're about to like get into everything that we're about, that we're going to talk about with how do you do this without ruining your kids' lives. But I want to preface this by saying, we know that it's hard. And we know that this is something that goes through everyone's minds before they start the divorce process.
Right. Because the number one question I always get from clients who have children, and not every client divorcing has a child or children, but the ones who do, I usually get, how do I protect my kids in this process?
Yeah. And that's probably the number one question I get DM'd on Instagram. And again, it makes sense because that's what everyone worries about. And everybody wants to know, is it possible to get divorced without completely fucking up your kids? So here we go. If you are feeling stuck because you're afraid of hurting your kids, we get it. We are here for you. And this episode is for you.
First, I think it's important to define what, for lack of a better term, screwing up your kids means. And I didn't say the F word because I'm super classy, unlike Andrea. But anyway, so what you want to know is, will your kids navigate this major adjustment? And will they survive or thrive? And the answer is yes, a resounding yes. Will they have big feelings about this change? Will it be easy? It won't be easy. And yes, it's likely they're going to have some big feelings.
But are these big feelings going to last forever? No. And most importantly, your kids will be okay. In fact, in the long run, they'll be better than okay because they will have two happier and healthier parents.
Right. We talk about this a lot on our show, and it's the reason we do, I should say, is because it's true. Your kids are aware of more than they tell you that they're aware of. Even if they can't articulate it, and a lot of kids, even a little older kids, are unable to articulate what's going on, they feel the tension. And tension in the house does more damage to children over time, generally, than a divorce does.
Yeah, and I can actually speak to that personally. So my parents did eventually divorce, but I can tell you guys that my childhood is peppered with memories of them fighting. And even worse than the fighting was just the silence of like of being around two people who didn't want to be around each other. And to this day, and I'm 41 years old, and I have a divorce of my own to remember, but I can still remember how uncomfortable I felt when my family was all together and did things together, because you can just feel that kind of tension. You don't want that for your children. I know that you don't. Nobody does. And like Morgan, you're well adjusted. Your parents are divorced. I mean,
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think that part of the reason that I am well adjusted is, you know, my parents divorced when I was in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And my parents were definitely not on the best of terms when they were divorcing, but they took the high ground for the most time. I mean, I don't think that anyone is perfect in this, but they took the high ground. And, even though maybe it wasn't the most comfortable thing, we still tried to do holidays together. We still did, you know, the extracurricular activities. Both people showed up. My parents lived down the street from each other. They made it easy as possible on us. And I think especially, you know, one of my parents really took the high ground and always was the classier person. And kids remember that.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for the way that they acted, because I know that it wasn't easy, because I watch clients do it every day. It's not easy, but it is a choice of how you are going to behave.
So let's get into that. Okay, so let's answer the question that's on everyone's mind. What can I do so that my kids' lives are not totally ruined by me getting divorced? We're going to give you three steps here, because you know we are the podcast with the action steps. So here's step one: get guidance. You cannot go through this alone. You're going to need help. The age of your kids needs to be taken into account on how you handle things, as well as all of the specifics of your situation. So you're going to need someone to help guide you. And specifically for this, we recommend that you consult with a therapist who works with children. So your personal therapist, and yes, you should have your own therapist. Your therapist can make a recommendation, but you want to consult with somebody who works with children, probably somebody who's in your area, because you've got a strong likelihood that you're going to want to have your kids see this therapist at some point in the divorce process.
So step two, keep the information to age-appropriate information. You know how you deliver information to a four-year-old is obviously different than how you would deliver it to a 12-year-old. But what you tell them matters. And I always say that as a divorce lawyer, you have to do your best to try to get on the same page with your spouse. Whether that's through the help of a therapist yourself with both you and your spouse, whether that's the help of a mediator. A lot of times we go to mediation just to figure out what to say to the kids, or sometimes it's even a written statement between both lawyers that you both agree upon that you're going to say to the children, because you need to remember that the first step is, like Andrea said, getting guidance. And the second is keeping the information to age appropriate information, because in general, your children's mental health plays a big role here. So if you, when in doubt, a children's therapist will always be helpful to navigate this and say what's appropriate depending on the age of your children.
Right. And, you know, going back to like age appropriate information in general, keep in mind that kids can only digest so much information at once. And I'm guilty of this. I tend to want to give more information. And even with my therapist, there are times where I'll talk through like, oh, well, this is what I said to my kids. And they're like, whoa, you could have stopped there. like that's enough. Cause I want to go on and on and on. So you have to be careful that you're not going into more detail than what they can handle. And here's something else that I think is important to mention that just came to my mind. I learned this actually from a therapist, that most kids, for the most part, are rather egocentric until they reach a certain age, which means that the majority of their concerns regarding the divorce or any big change in their life, it's going to center around how it's going to affect them. So there, you can keep the dialogue to stuff that really just impacts the kids. So you don't need to get into the feelings between mom and dad so much and what happened and the breakdown of the marriage, because they probably don't care. They're going to want to know, am I going to have to switch schools? What about my friends? Am I going to have to move? What's my new room going to look like? The things that impact their lives directly.
Right, exactly. And think about your kids' needs on a daily basis. You know that your needs are ever changing. You have to tune into what your kids are looking like and what they need. You know, they may want to be reassured, and it might be daily, depending on how they're feeling. You know, their lives are not going to be completely uprooted. They're going to want to know, will I still be able to play soccer? Will I have to quit dance? Will I still have the same friends? Will I still be able to go to, you know, Sandy's house down the street? Focus on reassuring them on the things that will remain the same.
Right. Because again, this goes back to helping the kids know that their lives are going to remain intact. Because I think that obviously you've already absorbed a lot of what this divorce is going to look like, right? But then you're delivering this information to your kids. And so they need a little bit of time to catch up to this. But their first questions are going to be like, well, how the hell does this impact me? They're going to want to know that everybody's okay. So that's also really important. And you've got to be aware of your demeanor when you speak to the kids, because more often than not, the kids are picking up on what you're not saying almost more than what you are saying. So if you say to your kids, like, everything's fine, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and it's going to be good, but you're sobbing the whole time. Well,
inappropriate. Right. Inappropriate.
And your kids are just going to be paying attention to the fact that mom is sobbing.
Right. They're not going to hear you.
They're not going to hear you. And the other thing that I'll say is the more contentious your divorce is looking like, the more therapy and the more support that your entire family is going to likely need. So that doesn't mean that everybody's messed up and nobody's ever going to heal from this. This is a way to be proactive. Am I right? I
mean, yes, you're right. And one thing you didn't mention that I want to say too, you could be in the most contentious divorce ever or not at all. Mm-hmm. But like Andrew just said, your kids pick up on everything. It doesn't matter if they're 4 years old. They're picking up on things, whether they can articulate it or not. So what I'm saying is, you may dislike your spouse or they may have hurt you so badly, but when you see them in front of the kids, say hello. Mm-hmm. Do your best to smile, act happy, say hello, do your best, because the kids are watching everything. And even if your ex is not kind back, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. You be the classy person, because I can assure you that children know who the problem is the older they get.
Yes.
And you don't have to tell them. And no. I'm asking you not to tell them. They right. don't need to know that. Don't ruin their innocence. They will know.
Yeah. They'll figure it out. And I mean, and for those who, you know, live in my world where things were not pretty and stuff was contentious, there are going to be times where smiling at your ex is not going to be possible. It's just not. And there'll be times where you and your ex are not even, you know, if things are really bad, where you guys really aren't going to be doing a lot of face-to-face exchanges. But you're still going to have the opportunity to choose neutral and kind words about this person or aggressive language, right? So if you ask them, what's going on when you were at mom's house? What's going on when you were at dad's house? Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. That's great. Even if it's just about the kids, keep it positive, because all of that stuff impacts them. But I don't want to get off subject. We're getting into stuff that's a few steps down the road for most of you. So let's keep up with what you're doing right now. So I want to just recap the first two steps. It was step number one was to get guidance, which is talking about have a children's therapist weigh in on how you deliver this information to them. And step number two is make sure that the information is age appropriate.
Right. And because we're giving you these action steps to help you set up for success, you know, now that's not to say that divorcing children with children, I should say, you're not divorcing your own children, when you are divorcing and children are involved, it's not a piece of cake. It's not, but it's possible to get divorced and not ruin your children's lives. And I can assure you of that. I help men and women do it every day. And ideally, we strive for families to remain intact. In fact, one thing that I always say is I'm here to redefine families, not break you apart. And if we do it the right way and do it with the right professionals that we recommend and we talk about, you have a plan to get divorced and it will be okay. And your family will be redefined and just operating okay, or even better, hopefully in most cases.
Okay, so step three. This one is my favorite because this is the most proactive. Assemble a community. So let me tell you guys something. I did a lot of things wrong in my divorce, hence the title of our podcast. But one of the things that I did right was I immediately created a community for my kids. And the key to assembling a community is opening up to your friends and let your friends and your kids' friends, parents, like anybody, let them know that you're doing this with the intention to establish a circle of support for your kids. And here's why that part's important. Everybody is busy. So if you don't communicate to your friends and to the people that you're trying to assemble this community with, that you're doing this for a reason, and it's not just like casual hangouts whenever you're available, things are going to pop up and you're going to get canceled on, and that's going to suck. So if you tell people like, look, because we're going through a divorce, I really want to set up a community for my kids. Like, when are you available? Can we set something up on a regular basis and have a few people that kind of come in and out? Then people will take it seriously and they'll know that, you know, for a certain period of time, you're going to count on them for plans. I got really lucky and I was able to set up weekly dinner dates with another family. So like every Tuesday night for a really long time, my kids had other kids to hang out with and I had other adults to talk to, and it gave my kids consistency. It gave everybody something to look forward to. In fact, I actually just saw them last night. Over the weekend, we got together. And so still to this day, we see each other weekly. And I will tell you that having a community offers a level of comfort to your children and to you that will be so important.
I agree. I couldn't agree more with that. And it's really important that you said that because, you know, a lot of people feel really isolated going through the process. Some people don't want to share their story. But one of the other things that we've talked about on past episodes is, you know, Andrea found a really big community online, even with people that she didn't quite know, but could tell that they were going through something similar. So there's community out there. But know this, please know that we're not implying that this is going to be easy.
No,
we are not doing that, but we are telling you that it's doable. What we want to do is recap our three steps today. Step one, let's get some guidance. Talk to children's therapists if you need that extra guidance, or grab a book. There's lots of books out there. Step two, give age-appropriate information. And step three, assemble a community to get around you and your kids potentially.
You're absolutely right. And guys, I mean, the messages that we get, they come in daily. Everybody is in the same place. I want to do this, but I'm so afraid of hurting my kids. And listen to me, listen to me. I am here to tell you that you run a higher risk of hurting your kids by staying in this marriage. And I speak from experience here. Your kids need and deserve a happy and healthy mom and a happy and healthy dad. And you cannot be happy and healthy in an unhappy and unhealthy marriage. And something else to think about is that you are showing your children what a relationship looks like. And I know that you wouldn't want them to settle, and we don't want you to settle. Everybody deserves to be happy. So for those of you who are listening right now, because you saw this episode posted on Instagram or on Facebook, or somebody recommended it to you, and you're sitting there with that lump in your throat thinking, I know that I need to do this, but I am so scared. It's okay to be scared. These action steps that we mapped out are to help you just get this process started. You can be scared, but sometimes you have to do things anyway.
Yep. Well, nobody knows it better than you, right?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said nobody knows it better than you. I mean, you're here talking about it every day.
Right, right. And you got to do it. Sometimes you just have to do it scared. And I mean, Morgan and I have said like five times in this episode, we're not implying that it's easy. And that's because we want to be so sensitive to the fact that, I mean, Morgan does this every day, all day long. I walk this life. Again, we know that this is hard, but we also know that life is so much better on the other side, and especially for your children. I have two children who are sleeping in the room right behind me right now. And I can guarantee you that their lives would not look as rich as they do right now if I had not left my marriage.
Not because of anything, but because of you and how you felt too, you know?
Exactly. That's You're exactly happier. Right. And that's what, you know, we said earlier, it's because mom and dad deserve to be happy. And you're not going to be happy immediately, but you have the possibility of being so much happier, and you and your children are happier when you are happier. Something else that I want to mention is that we have some other episodes from previous seasons where we go more into steps that you can take to help your children. So I want to give some shout outs to those episodes because I think that they're important. So going in order, episode 17 is called Will the Kids Be Okay? And that was with Dr. Randy Heller. And that episode is great. And you'll get to hear me cry, which is always fun.
And if you haven't heard Dr. Heller, you're going to fall in love with her. She is like, so lovely. Her voice makes you just like feel so comfortable.
She's just like a fountain of knowledge. Like just so, so good. Okay. So episode 17, Will the Kids Be Okay? Episode 18 is actually part two of that episode. So episode 17 and 18, and then episode 37 is called Putting Your Children First in the Parenting Agreement. And that's with Dr. Melissa Tigges. And that episode is really important as well. So friends, we get it. We know that this is stuff that you're thinking about. We are here to help give you some action steps. And as always, if you have questions or need more guidance, or you want to ask us anything specific to, like to what we talked about, send us a message. We're here. We got this. We're going to help you through it. And speaking of messages, I think we should introduce our new final segment of the show.
I can't wait. It's a new one.
It's a new one because it's season four of our show. And we thought, you know, I think we're at the point where we can admit that we have fans. So the final segment of our show this season is called Fan Mail. Let's do this.
Okay, let's see which Nigerian prince DM'd us today.
If you're really a prince, I'll marry you.
This is Fan Mail.
Okay, so isn't it funny that we have fans? Like, isn't that so silly?
It makes me laugh because I don't get as many DMs as you do, and you run our account. So just I can just tell once in a while that people are kind of creeping, and then they'll just send a random message. And I love it because I'm like, really? You're listening? Like, you like this podcast? This is crazy. Then I send it to Andrea and I'm like, is this for real? She's like, I get these every day. I'm like, oh, okay, sorry.
I love these messages. And we get like, we get some really, really sweet messages, and we're so appreciative of anybody who takes the time just to tell us that, you know, that you are happy, we're helping you. We love it. But what we're going to feature today is actually some stuff that's kind of funny, because earlier this week on Instagram, we posted a reel about, my God, what the hell was it about? It was about things. Oh, it was about things that you want to say to your ex or co-parent, but you don't say them.
Yeah.
Actually, the actual reel was just a video of me like screaming into a pillow. And then it was like, what you want to do? And I was like screaming into a pillow. And then it was like, what did you actually do? And it was like responding with the words like, okay. So then I said, okay, we want to know the snarkiest response that you didn't send your co-parent, but you really wanted to. We've got some good ones.
Can I start?
Yes, go for it.
You're just like your mother. I was like, wait, I didn't know she knows your mom.
I know. Morgan messaged me and she's like, what's this? I'm like, no, Morgan. I think it's one of the, they were in character. It was one of the responses, which I really appreciate the in character. Okay. So somebody wrote to me, So the ex said to her, I think this was in like a therapy session or something. I guess you think you're smarter than me, you piece of shit. And she said,
what?
But this is what she wanted to say back. Yeah, that's why I remarried a doctor and you remarried a hooker.
Oh my gosh. I can't even. How about this one? I just rationalize it with, if you're going to yell at me, I'm going to hang up, which results in I'm hanging up now.
Bye. I mean, there was one. I'm missing.
Speaking of Nigerian princes, I mean, why do we get all these weird things talking about either like some shaman that's going to like get you back together, or I don't know, like some professional hacker that can hack people. Like
spellcasters. They love it. They love doing spells. I don't know.
Somebody must have bought into that at some point because they think people are like jumping at their spells.
I think that when I'm trying to like, I don't see a good one. We get the crate, like I got so much. So this person changed my life. All you need to do is message so-and-so and they will, it's a spell that you won't be able to refuse. He'll come running back to you. And I'm like, I don't want, please don't reverse that spell. I don't want anybody running back to me. I'm so good. Tired of running.
We're beyond good. Please don't send that person back to me.
And you know what? This reminded me. I think I shared this on season one of our show because I think it happened in real time. It's not the same. This was not a snarky remark, but it's an embarrassing remark. It was like earlier on, I think we weren't even divorced yet. We were like getting divorced, but already like living in separate houses. And I was already in a relationship. And I accidentally called my soon-to-be ex-husband babe. Like I said, I did it twice in a row, which was even cooler. So like I said something like blah 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 blah, babe. Oh no, I'm sorry. Oh my god, sorry, babe. Oh god. And I remember that I was so uncomfortable and like my palms were sweaty and I was like shaky.
You're like, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth, but we're going to get through this.
It's like, don't tell me you've had a bad day. I just called my soon to be ex-husband, babe, twice to his face. In between which I said, ew, no, sorry, babe. Oh my God. Awkward. Oh my God. But these are the moments that we've got to laugh at because there's a lot of divorce that's not funny, but
how about we'll end on this one. Sometimes you've got to burn something down for new life to bloom.
There you go.
Just burn it down.
Light a match.
Do it.
Let's do it. And again, guys, we know that this is not easy. We're not pretending that it is, but we designed this show to bring you information, entertainment, and empathy. And we want you to suck at getting divorced.
And we know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining. We know that the unknown can feel super uncomfortable. And that's why we say sometimes divorce, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Some days it's day by day. Other times it's hour by hour.
That's right. But we're here and we will be here with you through every step of the way. Tell your friends, tell the women you go walking with, tell the guys that you go to the bar with, tell everybody, hell, tell your ex, we don't care. We are here to help everybody not suck at getting divorced.
Agreed. And please, if you like us, rate us, review us. We'd love to see the ratings and reviews on our Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you hear the Apple Podcasts. So we appreciate that.
We do. And send us fan mail because now we've got a whole freaking segment dedicated to it. So we could really use the fan mail. But again, back to what Morgan said about the ratings and reviews, not only does that help our egos, which are already a little bit inflated, but it helps us book the level of guests that you guys deserve. So those ratings and reviews really do matter. So please, 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 if you love us, show us some love.
Exactly. And remember this, you know what? Your day may have sucked, but we're going through this with you. And we know that you have this and we have you.
That's right, you guys. Until next time, your girls, Morgan and Andrea, are here for you. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram at How Not to Suck at Divorce and visit our website, HowNotToSuckAtDivorce.com.